Okay, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Let me read this. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, peace be with you. Good morning. Good morning to you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. My name is Tony, just like Matt said, and I am thankful to the Lord and thankful to the leadership team who's invited me to preach this morning. I'm coming on a good Sunday where we get to go outside and eat afterwards. So thank you for that. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, all the way from Spring Branch. Our brothers and sisters over there, not Spring, Texas, okay? Not Spring Branch, Texas. We're a lot closer than you think. Right across 610, right on 290, I-10. That is the geography that the Lord has called us to. And we have a few parishes there joining you in the work of reconciliation. And speaking of that, we have brothers and sisters also worshiping right now in the Montrose area. And we have brothers and sisters right now worshiping in the Southside area. So praise the Lord for the ministry that he has given us here in Sojourn Houston. I'm just grateful to the Lord to be here this morning to open up God's word, and how kind you guys are, always encouraging when I am here. So I want to just say how grateful and appreciative I am of that. Well, how many of you know that the Lord Jesus sees you this morning? Anybody? Yes, the Lord Jesus sees you. Jesus sees us in our failures, if that's a reminder that you need to have this morning. Jesus sees us in our lack or in our sacrifice, in our worth. He sees us, and today we have a story where Jesus does not overlook, where Jesus sees these people that he is with in this living room. If you read the text, he is sitting here and he is seeing them. Now, if I can bring you back to modern times, one of the house chores that is the bane of my existence, or I can put it like that, is the folding of clothes. Anybody with me? The folding of clothes? Yeah, that I'm telling you, it's something. Like, we need to figure that out. But for some, you love this task. And for me, it's a chore. And I'm confessing here. And in this confession, I have a sanctifying agent, which is my wife, who patiently calls me to change in this area of life. But what is it for you, though? What's that chore? What's that task? What is that duty at home or at work that is so repetitive that you wonder, does anyone see what I'm doing? Does my spouse see what I'm doing? Do my kids notice what I'm doing? This is our first summer with two kids. We have twins. They're 4 years old, and they just finished their pre-K 3 school year. And on the second day after their school year, one of them, I'm not going to mention who, says, "What are we doing next? I'm so bored." They're four, right? And it's probably going to continue like that for the rest of the summer. But if you're a stay-at-home parent, you probably are thinking, do they see? Do they see? Does anyone see my effort? Does anyone see my work? Maybe it's making, you know, very basic here, your bed every morning. Maybe it's loading the dishwasher. Maybe it's that time that you spend on the way to work in traffic. Maybe it's a task that you have to turn into your supervisor every single week, and this is work, yes, but do they see? No one sees your effort, it seems. No one helps with it, it seems. It seems like you're overlooked at the very important moments of life, and you have these burdensome chores. Does anyone care? And today we're faced with many tasks in our life. We're faced with chores, with duties that we wonder, does God even care? Actually, we're asking, does my husband see what I do? Does my wife see what I do for us? Do my coworkers notice? Do these kids even pay attention? Does God see all that I'm doing just to get on by? And in all of our doing, the text shows us that God does see us. God is patient with us and calls us to something better. One thing is necessary. So my theme this morning is this: we can choose the one good thing when we are not distracted by everything. We can choose the one good thing when we are not distracted by everything. If you have your Bibles open, you have verse 38 right in front of you. And now as they went on their way, the Bible says, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, the scene is very simple, y'all. It's very simple. Jesus is invited by Martha and her sister Mary, and they ought to sit at the feet of Jesus. She is there. Mary is there listening to his teaching. There's three characters in the story: Jesus, Martha, and Mary. Martha invites Jesus over to their house. Her sister Mary is there. They are about to have a good time. And here you see a friendship that one can have as brothers and sisters in the gospel. When Christ is at the center, Here is a model that you can have a friendship that is honoring with the family of God between brothers and sisters. Pastor Tabidi writes that if the parable of the Good Samaritan, which you may know about that parable, if that parable exposes racism and ethnic prejudice as anti-Christian, then this story here, these verses, this story that we just read exposes sexism as anti-Christian. Our Lord, from the beginning, y'all, loves and includes women among his disciples and in his fellowship. To the fact where he's sitting in their living room, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And Jesus was radical for accepting an invitation from a Pharisee. And as he was breaking barriers and accepting an invitation to Mary and Martha's house. And Jesus was sitting down teaching. This is the context. He's teaching. He's talking. Jesus was sitting down while Mary sat by his feet, listening. And this is where we are to be. We are to stay close to the Lord Jesus and listen to his teaching. In other words, we are to sit at the feet of Jesus. From the beginning, I want to ask you, how are you doing in this sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his teaching? This week, these past 6 months, maybe this year, have you stayed close to the Lord when those daily devotionals, they just get to be maybe a chore for you? Maybe a duty, something that you're just used to doing, but you're not really listening to the teaching. Whose feet have you been sitting by lately? We are inundated, y'all. You guys know this. We are inundated with news, with headlines every single day. Whose voice have you been listening to? Has it been the voice of Jesus? Has it been the teaching of Jesus? Oh, to be found at the feet of Jesus. And church family, we are invited to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're called to stay close to him like Mary and listen to his teaching. Yet if we're honest with ourselves, we are often distracted. I got a notification early on this morning. I think I need to change that because it always happens on a Sunday morning right before service, and it says your phone usage is up by 30% or whatever that is. So that prayer of confession was timely this morning. We are inundated with these headlines and these words and our phones, and we're distracted. Look at verse 40. But Martha was what? Distracted with what? Much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, first of all, you gotta be real friendly with Jesus to talk to Jesus like that, right? That may be a red flag we're talking to the Lord like that. Luke says that Martha was distracted with much serving. There was much to do. We're hosting Jesus. We got to tidy up. We got to clean up. We got to get the food ready. These are important things. These are good things. Yet the context shows us that these things are causing distraction. Good things. Serving distraction. Lord, do you not care? In other words, Jesus, do you not see what I'm doing? Oh, church, Jesus sees all right. There's no question that things need to get done. There's no question that Martha was hard working. There's no question that Martha was hospitable and welcoming. And this is where we find ourselves many times, distracted by everything. We think God doesn't care. We're like Martha at times. We're distracted by everything, and we think, God doesn't care. Do you not care? We say. There's no question that we have good intentions, that we need to do things in order for us to function. We need to do this for our homes for it to function. We need to do this at work for this to operate. We are hard working, and in all of our much serving, we think God doesn't care. So we start telling Jesus what to do. Martha says, tell her she needs to do this. We say, tell him he needs to do this. In our attempt to better the situation, we have shown our lack of trust in God, and in our attempt to get things done, we don't trust in the one who's sitting in the living room with words of life. No, we start telling him what to do. In church, we are invited to stay close to Jesus. But we're distracted by everything else that we lose trust in God. And because we want Mary to do and to serve, we don't hear the voice of Jesus, and we hear our own voices instead. I think this is what we ought to do. I think that this is what you should do, Jesus. And if I could add, there is something to be said about the silence of Mary in these verses. I don't know if you caught that. There's something that is captivating about the silence of Mary, that we weren't there. Luke only records the conversation between Mary, between Martha, and between Jesus. But in all of the voices between Jesus teaching and addressing Martha, and the voice of Martha telling Jesus to tell Mary to serve, the silence of Mary is more powerful in this story. And the question is, where are you distracted by things that you have lost trust in how God works? Where is it? Yeah, we know he works, but how God works is what I'm having an issue with. Where are you distracted by things that you've lost trust in how God works? Where have you been distant from Jesus because you have been distracted with serving much and now expect God to do things your way? Come out of the kitchen. Jesus, do you not care? Tell her to do it like this. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Where have you been doing things, but those things have kept you from staying close to the Lord and kept you from listening to his teaching? We need the Lord to see us. We need the voice of Jesus to reach us. We are thirsty to hear the words of Jesus, because all I am listening to lately is my own voice telling him how to do certain things. And oh, verse 41, the Lord answers her and says, Martha, Martha. Can someone say Martha, 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 Martha? Do you sense the kindness in the voice of Jesus? Do you sense the tenderness in the voice of the Lord? And we know it's kindness. We know it's tender. We know that because it's a loving rebuke, because the one other time that Jesus does this, it's also to one of his followers that he loves. With love, with kindness, with tenderness, Jesus once turned to Peter, his disciple, and said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." The Jesus that prays for his friends like Peter is the Jesus that sees Martha and her busyness and calls her back to himself. She's distracted. "Martha, Martha." He doesn't judge her. He sees her. He doesn't condemn her. He sees her and addresses her. And we have a Savior, y'all, who sees our busyness and distraction in our lives. We have a friend in Jesus that when we fail in his presence, when we fail in his presence, when we fail in his presence, he's right there teaching us the word, and we fail in his presence, he gives us hope and he calls us to something that will last by saying, "Martha, Martha, Tony, Tony." And I don't know what chore you've been doing, what duty has you distracted, what has you maybe ticked off at those around you, like those good nothing Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, but I do know that Jesus beckons us to himself. "Martha, Martha." Oh, would we look to him? Would we hear his voice? Would we learn from him? Why? Because he is the only one that in all our laboring with much serving, that in all our distractions with our chore, he is the only one who will say in our lives, "Tony, Tony." Everyone else, everything else will call you to do more, more output, more productivity, work harder, do a better job. Jesus is the only one who will say, "Tony, Tony." He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke," Jesus says, "and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, church, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Martha, Martha. This Jesus can save us. We can trust in this Jesus that says this because it was he who knows full submission. He knew what it was. He knows what it is to be fully devoted to God. He knows what it is to not be distracted by the busyness of life in order to fulfill his Father's will. Oh, Martha has hope because Jesus has paid it all. You have hope, church. Friend, if you are here and you're thinking about Jesus and Christianity, you have hope this morning because Jesus went to the cross and did not get distracted from his life's purpose. He calls you to come to him. Church, we have an eternal hope because our Savior sees us distracted, yet still calls us to himself. Do you hear Jesus calling your name repeatedly? Do you believe that he sees you in all your distraction with much serving, in all of your stress with everything that you have going on? He sees you today. He sees you. So what do we do? What do we do if we believe that he sees you? What do we do if we believe, when we believe that Jesus sees me, what do I do? When Jesus sees us in all of our anxiety, in all of our troubles, when we hear his voice calling us in all of our distraction and failures, because he sees us and he calls you by name, he may call your name repeatedly. This is what we do. We choose the good portion which will not be taken away from you. That's what we do. We choose the good portion, which will not be taken away. One thing is necessary, Martha. One thing. Brothers and sisters, you have the opportunity to choose it today. One thing. There's one thing. It reminds me of the psalmist back in Psalm, I think it was 27. 27. One thing, he says, have I asked of the Lord. This is one thing that I will seek after, he says, that I may what? Dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus, gazing upon the beauty of her Lord, listening and learning from him. This one thing was the good portion. There was dependence on Jesus that Mary had. This one thing was the good portion. She could have been distracted. She could have been anxious. She could have been troubled. She could have been doing everything that Martha was doing, but she depended on Jesus. And dependence often looks like just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning from him, instead of being distracted by everything. And this is hard to grasp. But because Jesus paid it all, we get to choose the one important thing. Oh, this good portion, the Bible says in verse 42, it will not be taken away from her. When you choose Jesus, when you depend on Jesus, it will not be taken away from you. He will forever be yours. You will dwell in his house forever. You will sit at his table forever. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. No one can take it from you. This is the good portion. This is the one important thing. Now, church, I've asked you a few minutes ago, where are you distracted with your to-dos, with your chores, with your duties? Now I want to ask, how does depending on Jesus look like for you? Where do you need to depend on Jesus? What does sitting at the feet of Jesus look like for you? We're all in different places in life and all kinds of stages. We must take seriously the words of Scripture. Yeah, that's probably how it looks like. Yes, more than likely. We must put down the things that you're distracted by and humble ourselves. Yes. We ought to confess that we are anxious and troubled by many things. Yeah, we ought to forgive. It looks like gazing at the beauty of the Lord, which makes us quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I am asking us to lean into that. That's that one thing. That is how you choose the good portion. No one can take that from you. In church, we can choose the one good thing when we're not distracted by everything. In all of our doing this coming week, this summer, in all of our doing, we know that God does see us. God is patient with us and calls us to dependence upon Him. So this week, I encourage you to choose that good portion, that good portion that no one can take from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can come out of the room like Martha and join Mary, the sister Mary, and sit at the feet of Jesus, gaze at the beauty of the Lord, and say, God, however you will do this, I depend on you. To drop the distractions, to sit at His feet by the grace of God. He sees you, Martha. He sees you today. Stay close to the Lord. Listen to His teaching. Dwell in His presence. Depend on Him. That will not be taken away from you. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Jesus. It is in Jesus that we have an example. More than example, we have a Savior. He knew what full submission was to you, Father. He knew what it was. And He calls us to sit at His feet. He calls us with love, with tenderness, not with judgment, not with condemnation. He calls us this morning. So by your Holy Spirit, would we not harden our hearts? Would we listen to your voice and come to this table with repentant hearts, knowing that you are beckoning us, you are calling us. Oh, if we are like Martha, if we are frenzied, if we are occupied, if we are distracted with much serving, we repent. If we're telling you what to do and how to do it, we ask for your forgiveness. Help us dwell in your presence and in our failures. Help us know that we are forgiven. You see us this morning. You are with us, and you care for us so much that you call us to yourself. May we respond in trust and in repentance this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.